There's that old school bell. Ring it so we can hear it. Welcome to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this morning we're going to have that special feature from which we read from the Rock Cliff Review. Now, we're in our regular studies, we're in the middle of a study on the Sermon on the Mount, but we're going to break from that and keep this special feature that we have before you. You see, the Rock Cliff Review is the bulletin that is passed out at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ to those who gather together to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Oh, we have the time of our services and the names of the elders, and we have a pantry, and we list the pantry items that we're trying to collect, and we have special list of those who need our prayer and announcements about showers and birthdays and anniversaries and events that are coming up upon us. And so there's many interesting things in this bulletin that are of interest to us as a congregation. It is sort of a newsy little publication that we pass out so we can keep up with each other and know who to contact and send cards to and to check on through the week. But also, in every bulletin, there's an article that I have written that generally follows the sermon that's going to be preached that morning. And that's what this one does. This article for this particular Sunday was titled, Great Syro-Phoenician Faith. Well, now, what do we mean, Syro-Phoenician faith? Well, listen, and you'll come to an understanding of it. The Phoenicians were the ancient mariners of the Mediterranean Sea. They prospered in the sea trade between the old city-states that lay along the coastlands and up the rivers. They colonized Carthage in North Africa, but the regions of Tyre and Sidon were their homelands, hence Carthaginian Phoenicians were distinguished from the Syro-Phoenicians. Old Jezebel in the Old Testament was of that culture, and they had an idolatrous, immoral heritage. The Jews would not expect to find faith among the Syro-Phoenicians, let alone great faith. Matthew 7 and verse 24 tells us that Jesus had come to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. If Jesus had crossed that border, then it was the only time Jesus traveled beyond the boundary lands of ancient Israel, except for when he was carried into Egypt as a young child. It is remarkable that one so little traveled has had so great an impact over all the world. Jesus had just had a direct and uninvited confrontation with the Pharisees and scribes from Jerusalem. Perhaps he needed some time away, alone, for rest. Mark 7:24 tells us that he entered into a house and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. A certain woman came to Jesus. She was Greek by culture, but Syro-Phoenician by ethnic heritage. The point to be noticed here is that she was in no way Jewish. Her daughter was vexed with an unclean spirit. The word Mark used is a diminutive form of the word daughter, indicating that she was a little daughter. This was a child and possessed with a demon. All we know about demon possessions is what the Bible teaches, and this leaves us with many questions. We're never directly told why this occurred at this time in history, but we see that it provided an opportunity for Jesus to demonstrate his power in the spiritual world. We learn from this that the work of unclean spirits was not limited to the Jews, and neither was it limited to the guilty. For this is a little Gentile girl. I'll turn the page. Matthew tells us that the woman cried unto him, saying, Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Matthew 15:22. Notice how she appealed to Jesus as thou son of David. The woman had not seen any of his mighty works. Her faith came by hearing. We are hard pressed to understand why Jesus answered her not a word, Matthew 15:23. And we not also hard pressed today when it seems like God is not answering, when we pray and all we seem to receive is silence? This story teaches us how to deal with this. I suggest that Jesus was treating this woman as his disciples would have treated her, and he's doing this to teach his disciples a lesson. Now she persisted, and Jesus explained, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 15:24. Well, the woman did not argue with him. She simply fell at his feet and said, Lord, help me, Matthew 5:25. How this must have pierced the tender heart of Jesus. Yet he further explained, in the words his disciples would have used, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs, Matthew 5:26. This woman responded with humility. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Here is where Jesus said, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Mark adds, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Mark confirms that when she was coming to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed, Mark 7:30. Now why? Why did this happen? Why did Jesus delay? Why is this story told? Some suggest that Jesus was trying her faith. Perhaps that is so. But I suggest that Jesus already knew her faith, and that Jesus used her to teach his disciples the meaning of great faith. Jesus was known to chastise his disciples for little faith, and this was great faith. It was great because it came by hearing. It was great because it was humble. And it was great because it was persistent. Through the Spirit-given word we too can hear. And faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17. In humility we too can come to Jesus in worship. And when faced with challenges, obstacles, discouragement, trials, and disappointments, we too can persist. Galatians 6:9 teaches us, Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let the disciples of Jesus learn from this Syrophoenician woman what it means to have great faith. Now that was the gist of the sermon that was preached that Sunday morning at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And I read to you from the Rock Cliff Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we are doing in our normal class periods for this Bible school at this time is studying the life of Jesus. And we've come to that part of our study where we're examining Jesus as a preacher and studying that great sermon he preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to continue with that as we bring the rest of this study to you. We're going to begin reading now in Matthew chapter 6. And you'll be familiar with some of these words. Listen how Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of them, else you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore thou doest alms, sound not a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they might have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. And in thine alms be in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. And when you pray," Matthew 6 and verse 5, "you shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they've received their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, and having shut thy door, pray unto thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. And in praying use not vain repetitions, as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may be seen of men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou be not seen of men to fast, but of thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee." Now the three things Jesus spoke of in this reading has to do with the giving of alms and of praying and of fasting. The giving of alms has to do with the gifts made to the poor. Of course, praying has to do with praying, and fasting has to do with going without food. And this is going without food that it might bring the body under subjection, and we would feel the need of God and be humbled before Him. But these hypocrites, they were doing this outward show of religion and blowing a trumpet before they would cast money into the vessels where the alms had given, so everyone could see that they were big givers. And then they would stand out in the street corners, and that's where they would pray so they could be seen of men. And when they would fast, they would have that forlorn look about their face, that they would appear to be so righteous unto men. It was just an outward show. One of the things we learn from this greater righteousness that Jesus is teaching than they had heard from the scribes and Pharisees is that our religion is not to be an outward show. Again, it comes from the heart, and it is something between us and God. God sees, God knows. We're not to be religious that we might appear to be religious in the sight of man. We're to be religious in secret in the sight of God. It doesn't mean we don't let our light shine, but like one old preacher said, there's a difference in letting your light shine and in shining your light. And so we learn the sincerity of Christianity in this Sermon on the Mount.